2025 marks the 10th year of Brave Little State. That's right, we've been answering your questions about Vermont for an entire decade. But after all this time, we have some questions too, for you. Like, what are your favorite BLS episodes? What do you want us to do more of, or less of? Yes, I'm talking about a survey. And real quick, before you skip ahead, hear me out. We timed it, and it will take you less than 5 minutes. A breeze! Also, if you complete the survey, we will automatically enter you to win a prize, a big bag of BLS swag, specially curated by our team. Material incentives aside, we just really appreciate you taking a few minutes to do this. Your feedback will actually help us make the show better. We promise, from the bottom of our brave little hearts. So head to bravelittlestate.org to learn more.
From Vermont Public and the NPR Network, this is Brave Little State. I'm Sabine Pooks. Kathleen Cunneen and her friends call themselves the Walking Women. They do a lot of walking around Thetford, where they live.
Walking and talking and running and talking and talking and talking. And on so many of these little roads, you know, you just want come around a corner and there's like five headstones in a little tiny clearing.
Headstones in a clearing. These are cemeteries Kathleen's talking about, tiny ones that sort of sprout from the woods. There's one on her road with just a few graves.
And I would see that the grass was mowed, and I'd see that it was tidied, but never quite knew how that happened.
Recently, Kathleen noticed that the fence had been redone. Someone is quietly taking care of the cemetery, of these graves, without recognition. And she finds it touching. So she asked,
who takes care of all the tiny cemeteries in Vermont, and how did they begin in the spots they are in?
There are more than 2,000 cemeteries in Vermont. Some, like the ones that sparked Kathleen's curiosity, are tiny. It just takes one grave for a cemetery to be, legally, a cemetery. Others are huge, with rows and rows of stones. Some are more like parks, with trails, benches, and from time to time, new burials. In general, there are some basic rules about cemetery care, but in practice, it's patchy. And many towns are having trouble finding volunteers to help out, including in Thetford, where Kathleen lives. But there are also people who care a whole lot.
I tend to judge a community by how well its cemeteries are taken care of.
That's after the break.
Support for Brave Little State comes from VITA, supporting business growth and innovation in the Green Mountain State. From agriculture to manufacturing, energy to food production, find solutions that turn your business dreams into reality. Visit VEDA.org and see how VITA can help make it happen. And Sunset Lake CBD, a farmer-owned company crafting CBD gummies, tinctures, topicals, and more with Vermont sun-grown hemp. Products for people and pets are available for home delivery. SunsetLakeCBD.com.
Cemeteries are managed a few ways. By religious institutions like churches or temples, by private nonprofit groups, aka cemetery associations, or by towns. And town cemeteries, they're the most common. The cemetery our question asker Kathleen was wondering about, for example, it's maintained by the town of Thetford. It was Thetford that decided the cemetery needed a new fence to protect against neighboring cows, and it was Thetford that found the money in the town budget to pay for it. An hour down I-91 in Putney, it's the town that takes care of some of my family's graves. I have deep family roots in Putney. The oldest of my ancestors there was its first official town clerk. During the Revolutionary War, he was even put under house arrest because of his enduring loyalties to the English crown. Anyway, he and a bunch of his descendants, my ancestors, they're buried at the Old North Burying Ground on Westminster Road. It's one of more than a dozen town cemeteries in Putney. And it's where I meet up with someone who's repaired a lot of headstones and who cares a lot that cemeteries like this one are well taken care of.
You know, you wouldn't go to the art museum in Boston and find all the paintings hanging crooked. Absolutely not.
Charlie Marchant of Townsend is like a cemetery Lorax. If in Dr. Seuss's story, the Lorax speaks for the trees, Charlie speaks for Vermont's old cemeteries and the people who are buried in them. He showed up to a select board meeting in a town he doesn't live in to ask them to take better care of their cemeteries. He's testified in court as a cemetery expert. He's even knocked on a landowner's door to ask them to take down a tree looming dangerously over neighboring plots. He's also the regional chair for a group full of cemetery Loraxes, the Vermont Old Cemetery Association, or VOCA. When I meet Charlie at the Old North, he's wearing a VOCA baseball cap and sitting in the bed of his truck. On his bumper, a sticker says, "I break for old graveyards."
I tend to judge a community by how well its cemeteries are taken care of. To me, that's a reflection on the community.
Charlie has been working in cemeteries since he was 8 years old. It really suits him.
I know it sounds, you know, kind of folky, jokey, but in general, the people you're working for don't call you. You know what I mean. So it's quiet work, and if you do a good job, people like to see it. Especially a cemetery like this, right next to the road. And I look at cemeteries as a true cultural resource that is good for the business of what's called heritage tourism. Like, your relatives are here, so you come here to see your relative's stone.
One of my family stones at the Old North is marked with the name Hannah Sabin,
who died May 28, 1802, in her 17th year.
Yeah, so she's 17 years old.
On her gravestone, Hannah is described as amiable. It's a word I've only ever heard in Jane Austen books.
Put on there, does it mean something specific in this case?
She's a good person, friendly, amiable.
Yeah.
They rarely put on a gravestone that somebody was a schmuck or a loser, you know. It just, you know, you're always a good person in death.
Hannah's grave is more than 200 years old, but the writing on it is legible, and the slate headstone is in one piece. It hasn't been overtaken by weeds, and the grass around the stone appears to have been recently mowed. That's thanks to the town of Putney, more specifically to a locally elected body called a cemetery commission. Its mission statement is this Benjamin Franklin quote: "Show me your cemeteries, and I will tell you what kind of people you have." Here are some samplings from recent commission meeting minutes. There's a growing interest in green burials, and the town isn't selling as many burial plots. A team of volunteers is assembled to put flags on veterans' graves for Memorial Day. The town is to put out a request for bids on mowing and monument repairs. That landscaping contract, it's a big part of the cemetery budget. Putney pays a company $15,000 a year to mow the town's biggest cemeteries a couple times and cut branches at risk of falling. But there's another variable that isn't such a simple fix: people power. The town hires who it can to take care of the big stuff, but there's essentially always more work that can be done. More cleaning, more repairing, and more governing.
And there's just so much work. I mean, I can't do everything myself.
Jonathan Johnson is head of Putney's Cemetery Commission. He's also the town clerk. Jonathan has had a hard time getting other people to run for the commission. At one time, he was the only one on it. And this fall, he tried to gather a small gaggle of volunteers for 2 hours on a Saturday to clean up one of the smaller cemeteries in town, near Putney Mountain. He advertised apple donuts and cider.
But no one came. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you reach people who, or how you engage people in that.
Jonathan Johnson and Lorax Charlie Marchant, they love old cemeteries. And they're not alone. The organization Charlie works with, the Vermont Old Cemetery Association, it has a loyal core of members that, on a newsletter's notice, will flock to a Vermont cemetery of the group's choosing to help pull weeds and fix stones. Of course, that sort of thing doesn't interest everyone. You and I, we might look at an old graveyard and just see a bunch of rocks. It wasn't until visiting my ancestors' graves in Putney that I started to understand the sorts of stories these places can tell. And turns out, this sort of personal connection may actually be the key to getting more people to care.
In some ways, I feel like an extension of the family.
We'll be right back.
Support for Brave Little State comes from Passumpsic Bank, helping renovate, refresh, and fix up homes with their fixed-rate home equity loan with no closing costs. Get more information at your local Passumpsic Bank or apply online at passumpsicbank.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, offer subject to change. Limited time offer.
So here we are.
Wow. Wow. So this is really close. How many feet away from your house do you think we are right now?
I don't know, 75, maybe 100.
Betsy McIsaac lives on a farm in East Putney, out the road from the town offices, up on a hill overlooking the Connecticut River. There's a farmhouse, a barn, and a teeny tiny cemetery.
Five stones.
That's the oldest one over in that corner.
This is all the Aplins.
They're all Aplins, yeah.
Aplins. That's the family that's buried here on Betsy's land. That's because before it was ever Betsy's land, it was the Aplins. Their family came from Rhode Island in 1789 and settled here in East Putney. They farmed the land and lived in the farmhouse, and the earliest Aplins are buried here.
And they lived here, the Aplin family lived here until the late 60s, so 175 years the family was on this property.
Our question asker, Kathleen from Thetford, is wondering not just about who takes care of cemeteries, but also why they end up where they do. Well, like the cemetery on Betsy's land, it's often a simple answer, because that's where the family of the people buried there lived. That's probably true for the cemetery on Kathleen's Road. The family that likely started that cemetery used to live on that road, too. Even though Betsy isn't part of the Aplin family, she took up the mantle of caring for their dead when she moved back to Putney 20 years ago.
It was the first thing I did after we closed on the property. It was like the first maintenance thing that I did. I don't know why, for some reason, I was just really drawn to it.
At that time, some of the headstones had fallen off their bases. Betsy did some research and found out how to use epoxy to glue it all back together. She ended up at a highway product store in Chicopee, Massachusetts, to get it.
It came in 5-gallon containers, and so I had these 2 5-gallon containers of this epoxy.
Not everyone who lives next to a cemetery would be so willing to drive down to Chicopee like Betsy did. But this idea that there are some people out there who might have the time, energy, and interest to take care of a tiny cemetery, it's catching on. It's a way around those fluctuating town budgets and no-show volunteer days. Putney is trying to formalize this model of care, which Clerk Jonathan Johnson refers to as adopting a cemetery. He's already found a few additional families to do it. The same goes for Townsend, where Cemetery Lorax Charlie Marchant lives. In Betsy's case, no one ever asked her to care for these stones. She just does.
If I didn't take care of it, nobody would.
Betsy says there aren't any Aplins in town anymore, but she's had members of the family stop by to visit the house and the cemetery.
They love to come. And I know that the family, the generation that were the last to grow up here, really love coming back.
When they walk around the property remembering, she follows close behind. It makes her feel more connected to the land and to the Aplins.
In some ways, I feel like an extension of the family.
One member of the family, Pauline, visited a while back. She grew up in the house and has since died.
This is the letter.
Betsy's kept a letter Pauline wrote her after her visit. I ask her to read it out loud.
So it's dated October 2nd, 2006. Hello, Betsy. We all wanted to thank you for spending the time with us on the farm. It's so nice to know that you folks appreciate the farm so very much and that you didn't mind our taking up so much of your time. Here are some of the pictures we wanted you to have.
Pauline tucked several photos of the house and her family into the envelope with the note. In it, she describes the pictures, like one of her family of 9 sitting in front of the house. She talks about a time her dad hit a baseball through the milk house door.
You bet he made a home run. Keep up the good work, and we hope to get down there again sometime. If only the walls could talk, you could learn so much history of all we Applins. Thanks so much, Pauline. P.S. Enjoy the pictures. It's good to know we will all be home again, if only in a picture. Like, that chokes me up.
Thanks for listening to the show, and thanks to Kathleen Cunneen of Thetford for the great question. We'll be back in a few weeks with a new episode. If you want to know what's on deck, the Brave Little State newsletter is a great way to stay up to date on all the happenings in the BLS universe. That's how you can find out about new voting rounds and even contribute to future episodes. And it's where you can learn more about the making of our show. To subscribe, head to our website, bravelittlestate.org, and scroll down to enter your email. This episode was reported by me, Sabine Pooks. It was produced and edited by Josh Crane and Burgess Brown. Digital support from Sophie Stevens. Angela Evansy is Brave Little State's executive producer. Our theme music is by Ty Gibbons. Other music by Blue Dot Sessions. Special thanks to Sam Eaton, Tom Giffen, and Martha Howard. Brave Little State is a production of Vermont Public and a proud member of the NPR network. We'll be back soon with more listener-powered Vermont journalism. Until then.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.